Take a look, Rabbi Yisrael. Let's take a look at a beautiful piece of Gemara. We're now back in Lamed Vav and Aleph. And let's take a look at the first piece of Gemara in the series of Gemaras that we'll talk about brachas on different parts of a plant. Korah. Gemara wants to know, what's the bracha on Korah? Rav Yehuda says it's a Ha'adama. Shmuel says it's a Shehakol Ne'abedvara. What is a Korah? Korah with a hay. Kuf of Reshe is a piece of lumber, but this is an Aramaic word. Korah with an Aleph. The Rambam, as you saw, the Rambam always rewrites Chazal. One of the things he did when he processed Chazal, he extracts the Maskana only, and he reorganized it topically, and he presents everything in Hebrew. So as you saw, the Rambam, what is it called? Korah? He calls it by his Hebrew name, Kor. Okay? Hakor. So what's the kor? So Rashi tells you, Rach shel dekel, the soft part of a palm tree, kisha anaf of gedelim v'chol shana v'shan, when the branches, literally, when the branches grow every year, kedar kol ha'ilanos, hanos v'shana zurach v'shana shim is kashev v'naseitz. Like other trees, in the first year of growth, they have a new shoot, a new piece. In the first year of growth, it's soft, and over time, it hardens. Now Rashi presents it as though they're branches. Rambam gives it a somewhat different picture. It's probably what Rashi means also. Rambam says in Halacha Vav, Hakor, v'hu rosh hadekel. It's the top of the palm tree. Shehu kemo eitz lavan. It's like a white wood. Mavarchanav b'tchila shehakol. You make a shehakol. The bracha of b'tchila means the bracha rishona is shahakol, and therefore it goes that saying that bracha achron is going to be the bracha achron is going to be a bar nefashos. We take a look at the way the ritva in the sugya does. You should bear in mind for your own toolbox that one of the things that the ritva is useful for, it does in this sugya as well. Here it gets a little tricky. Is that unlike his rebbe the Rashba or his rebbe's rebbe the Ramban. The Ritva intermingles Chidushim with Perish. As he's, Ritva will often do a lot of work just on explaining the lines of the Gemara, sometimes even more so than Rashi. And if you're trying to figure out Shakavataria, Ritva is a good, after looking at Rashi, Ritva is a good first place to tell. Even just looking side by side at a Ramban and a Rashba on the one hand versus a Ritva on the other hand, Ramban and Rashba tend to have longer shtiklach. And the Ritva will often have a lot of small pieces. When there's back and forth shock of the time, he'll often give you mamash like a blow by blow, and sometimes he'll unpack a little more than Rashi does. So it's a sort of a blend of Pirush as well as Chidushim. So here he tells you, and he uses the word Pirush. Koru of Yehudam Bar Piyadam a Pirush. Koru Rosh Adeko, like the Rambam writes, Umitchilahu Rach. It's initially soft, like Lulvei Gefanim, a part of the grapevine. Yachach Nasa Ilan, and then it becomes a tree. And then it becomes a tree. Well, that's a really interesting twist. So a palm tree looks like this. We've all seen pictures.
I sent from Florida.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Yaakov's really going on behalf of all of us. He's going to do some botanical research. One of the islands suggested this morning during morning study. It would probably be helpful for the upcoming sugyas, if we took a brief field trip to New York Botanical Gardens to actually see what we're talking about. So here's a palm tree. I'm sorry, it's in blue. But just to appreciate for a moment the difference between a palm tree and a quote-unquote regular tree. Now, those regular trees that grow in these parts, what botanists will call a woody tree. So you probably have seen in the past, like the typical trees that grow in northern climates, like apple trees and elm trees and oak trees and whatever, they look like, you know, this. Etc. So you probably learned at some point in your childhood that that a regular woody tree, if you slice it, you could see the rings. Right? Because those rings, every year, the tree grows outward. Every year, there's another layer, the trunk grows another layer. That's why if you cut down a tree and slice it, you could track the history by looking at the different rings, the different layers. That's called secondary growth, the horizontal growth. Palm trees don't have, generally, secondary growth. Once they establish their base, they just grow up. Just they only have primary growth, they only have vertical growth. And the way that works is every year there's the top, more grows on top. They grow taller and taller because more grows on top. That top stuff, initially, as the Rashi and the Ritva and the Rambam were saying, initially that white stuff at the top is soft. And then it becomes hard, or as the Ritva said, it becomes a tree. That becomes the new top of the trunk. So I believe that's what we call hearts of palm. The white stuff, as Rambam put it, at the top of the trunk that hasn't yet hardened. Because that's the way the palm tree goes. Every year there'll be more, another, it's not growing outward sideways, secondary horizontal growth, the primary growth at the top. So that new stuff, if you climb a palm tree and scoop out, go to the top and scoop out the soft stuff at the top, that's not, I think, commercial hearts of palm that you buy in the store. There's a different way, we'll get to that. But it's the same concept as hearts of palm. It's the soft, it's a part of the trunk that hasn't yet gotten hard. It keeps, every year goes higher and higher and higher, and the newest part at the top is still this soft white stuff that, as Ritva said, will eventually become a tree. So that's the question. That's the question. So what bracha do you make on the soft top trunk of the palm tree? The hearts of palm. What bracha do you make on hearts of palm? So that's the machlokas Amaram. That's the machlokas Rebbe and Talmud. Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. So here Rav Yehuda is disagreeing with his own Rebbe. So Rav Yehuda says Bar Pri Adama, Shmuel says Shakul Nei B'Dvar. Sure, machlokas. So obviously, what would you have assumed? It's always worth asking yourself, what would be the Svara Chitzona? You didn't know, and I asked you, well, we're eating, you have edible trunk of a tree, edible bark of a tree. So what bracha should it be? Ha'etz, Adama. Right? No one said Shakul. Right? Some said Ha'etz, and some said Adama. So let's see what the Gemara said. With that in mind, let's take a look. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda says, Bar Pri Adama Peiruhu. It's a fruit. Bar Pri Adama. Peiruhu. That's our girsa. Peiruhu. Shmuel says, and to some of you were asking, well, if it's a peira and it's a tree, so then it should be a Bar Pri Eitz. Good question. Okay, we'll have to get back to that. That's problem number two. Well, it is an Elam, though. Well, Peira as opposed to a non-Peira. Shmuel said that Shahako.
Peira
is produce. Perhaps. Yeah, David?
Very good.
Good. Very good. Right, so what lies below the surface of this Gemara may also be, and that's so a forerunner what's to come over the next amud or so. Correct, that the entire tree isn't necessarily pre-eitz. The entire tree is an eitz. There may be a subset of the tree which is the pre-eitz. Right, very good. So Shmuel seems to be reviewed as saying it's and that, which makes it seem like peira maybe means more like food. Right, food. It's a vegetable. It's food. It's an edible plant. An edible part of a plant. And Shmuel says, Shahako. So, Mela, it's not a Ha'etz. It's not even a Hadama. So Shmuel says, no, it's a Shahako because Sofo Lahakshos. It doesn't even count because it's going to get hard, which we understand. That's exactly what the Ritva was saying. Right? It's going to become Elon. It's going to become a hard trunk. Right now, it's at the top. It just grew. It's still nice and soft and white. It's going to get darker and harder. It's going to get darker and harder. Yeah. So the Gemara. So let's read through the Gemara. Then we're going to begin to pick apart some of the issues. And we'll ultimately come back to talk more about your Ha'ara, about the Bar Pri Eitz. So let's see what the Gemara says. Shmuel says, Tofel Hakshos. It's not going to be soft forever. It's eventually going to get hard. Yeah.
I'm trying to make sure I understand the argument of it. Well, it's going to become hard. Because, isn't that true about any food that only has a certain amount of state in respect to a plant that it's edible and then
that's a very good question.
All plants
Everything eventually, nothing on Mazar is forever. As the Rambam Magid Mishnah very put it, right. The only thing that lasts forever is Ramosha. All of Alma Hazeb, by definition, is sooner or later decays. And less dramatically, and less theologically, right.
The purpose of apples.
If you put fruit juice in the refrigerator, it will last longer than if you leave it in an unrefrigerated bottle on your desk. But either way, so even in the refrigerator, sooner or later, everything decays. Right. So you're right. Thinking about it logically, Sofa Lahakshos, a few questions you would ask yourself by Sofa Lahakshos. Number one, why is that unique? Everything is Sofa Lahakshos. Number two, so that's the what question. What's the why question? The Tzarech Bir question. The Tzarech Iyun. The Tzarech Iyun is what I mean. Everything else is also Sofa Lahakshos. Apple. You make my ace on apples. Why? If you leave it long enough, it's going to become a rotten mess. And then that's one kasha. And then there's also the Tzarech Bir, as in I'd like to understand the longest, as in why does Sofa Lahakshos matter? I'm not eating it in a month from now, I'm eating it now. There's no time travel involved. I'm eating it now. So what do I care what's gonna become? Right now, it's a delicious, edible chunk of a tree. So I have to figure out it's Adama, but why Shahako? We're not saying that it's dangerous. That will come up in the Rishonim. Rishonim are going to identify an item which is a part of a tree which, if you eat at the wrong stage, is dangerous. And then Azuki Masik, there's no bracha whatsoever. Okay, we're not saying that. It's not dangerous. It's just we're not even saying it's going to become hard. Azma. Yeah. So those are both good questions. What were you going to say, Eitan? Okay. And then we keep going, and we're going to see more questions. Right, so now, one question we had in Rabbi Yehuda is the Bari Pri Ha'adama versus the Bari Pri Ha'etz. Okay. In Shmuel, who says Shahako, number one, Tzarech Bir, everything is self-alacious. Number two, Tzarech Bir, what do I care what's going to be later? I care, I'm not eating it later, I'm eating it now. And then let's see where else the Gemara goes with this. Amar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, the Rebbe, whose Talmud is disagreeing with him, that there are at least two divrei Musar in this Gemara. And the first one is right here. Shmuel had a shita. Shmuel held the hearts of Parma Shahako. His Talmud Rav Yehuda said, I disagree with the thing, hearts of Parma Hadama. So not only does he not get upset, Hai Tachem, my Talmud should tell me that I'm wrong, he actually turns around and says, you know, I think you're right, and let me bring you a proof. The intellectual honesty, and the humility. Let me bring you. I found a raya to you. The Rebbe tells the Talmud, I found a raya that you're right and I'm wrong. Shinana, smart one, which is that you see in the Masoras Shas, sends you to many other places in Shas where that phrase is used to refer to a younger, talented Talmud Chacham. Shinana, kavasach mistabra. Kavasach is an important Aramaic preposition. Kavas is like kemos or kemo in Hebrew. Kemoscha mistaber. It makes sense like you. Why? The hatsanon, sofalahakshos. Tsanon, I believe, is a radish, some sort of root vegetable. Sofalahakshos, if you leave it there long enough, it gets hard, says Rashi. Shim eno tol shobi ito miskashe ka'etz. If you don't pick it, you don't harvest it at the right time, you leave it in the ground too long, it's going to turn hard like wood. We would say hard like a rock. It's going to turn hard like wood. Yeah. So he said, look, and still, we know that if you pick at the right time, you make a ha-adama. So number one, in reading that Rashi, you might have noticed, in terms of your tzarechim, but everything is sofalakshos, Rashi gave a little more. Of course, if I pick an apple and leave it on the counter, it'll eventually rot. But here we're saying, leave it growing. You leave it attached to the ground, it's eventually going to be noxious. Okay, maybe that helps. But then, so that was what Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda. I have a raya to you. I had been saying Sofa Lahakshos means the Shahakal, but look, it's not true. Why should Sofa Lahakshos on the heart of palm make a Shahakal if Sofa Lahakshos on the radish does not make it a Shahakal? And the Gemara says, Velohi. But it's not true. Why? So no, not the insha adaita de pugla. Diklalo, not the insha adaita de kora. You have a radish, people planted for the pugla, which is Aramaic for, Rashi says, exactly, the edible stage of the tzinon. So you do plant the radishes in order to harvest nice, soft, edible radishes. But dikol, not the insha adaita de kora. People don't plant palm trees for the korah. People don't plant palm trees for the hearts of palm. In other words, now that we know what korah is, of course, that's what makes the tree grow. But you didn't plant the tree in order to have a tree. You planted the tree in order to have the fruit. You planted, there are many types of palm trees. You planted a date palm because you wanted the dates. You planted a coconut tree because you wanted the coconut. You didn't plant the coconut tree because you want hearts of palm. You planted it because you want coconuts. You planted a date palm because you want dates. You want dates. Kapos tomorrow. Right? The way we describe a lulav is in the Chumash. Parashah is kapos tomorrow. Palms, literally. Palms of dates, because we call them palm trees because they look like palms. Because the leaves look like palms. So, but that, would I plant a date palm because I want to harvest the lulav? Maybe. Okay, maybe. You're not going to eat the lulav. You're doing both. You may harvest the lulavim. Obviously, lulavim before, you have to pick them in the fronds, the leaves at the right time before they open up. You have to get them when they're still closed. And you're going to harvest the edible fruit, the dates. But you didn't plant it because you wanted to eat the trunk while it's still soft, because you wanted to eat the hearts of palm. So that is the chiluk. And then the Gemara says, let's read a little more. And then we'll come back, and unless there are questions of lack of understanding. No. Yeah?
The radishes, doesn't mean they get hard. They're like, kind of like a rock and they're unedible.
Yeah, I guess so.
As opposed to the palm tree, the hearts of palm.
Also, it becomes hard.
But as a part of the tree?
It's the top. Hearts of palm are over here. That's my understanding. I'm not a botanist.
It's just saying that it's problematic.
This is the heart of palm. The top of the trunk. At any given point, the top of the trunk is soft. It keeps growing higher and higher and higher, and it keeps growing more soft stuff that over time hardens.
It's getting,
and another soft layer grows on top of that.
It's problematic. It started like this. The radish thing.
And this was soft, and then this hardened,
right,
and more grew. That was soft.
The radish thing that they do, it should become.
It sits in the ground. If you sit in the ground too long, it gets hard.
It doesn't grow into like a radish tree.
No. It's not a tree.
It didn't become an unedible after some time.
Correct. So phylloxerus. It's eventually going to get hard. Yeah.
In the Shach's material,
What is that line with Lehi? Verlohi is either Shmuel himself or some later Amora saying that... ironically, arguing with Shmuel said that he had a right to Rav Yehuda. Then we say, no, but we disagree with Shmuel. Shmuel's right and Rav Yehuda's wrong. Right? In other words, Rav Yehuda said Hadam. Shmuel said Shahakal. Then Shmuel said, why Shahakal? Because some of Lachshas. Right? It's a Shahakal. Why? Because some of Lachshas. Rav Yehuda said, no. It's a bar pri adama, meaning he doesn't care. It's not machlokes in Metzias. They all knew that if you live around palm trees, you know that the hearts of palm get hard. It's not a debate over whether or not hearts of palm harden. That's how, if hearts of palm didn't harden, palm trees wouldn't grow. There would just be a mess on the floor. We know that the sofa lachshos. But obviously, Rav Yehuda says, I don't care. Right? The machlokes, the sofa lachshos take away the bar pri. Or does Sofa Lachshos not go away the Bar Pri? So Shmuel actually said it does. Rav Yehuda said, I don't care about Sofa Lachshos. And then Shmuel said, I actually have a right to Rav Yehuda. Because look at Sinon. The din is that Sinon is Hadama. Even I don't know if he's quoting a Brisa or that was Min of Olam. Make Hadama. They all eat radishes and we all make Hadama radishes. And even though we all know it's Sofa Lachshos. But then Gemara says, well, so that was a riot to Rav Yehuda. If the Sinon is Hadama, even though Sofa Lachshos. So Korah. The hearts of palm should also be Hadama. And then, either Shmuel himself or some later anonymous Amora is saying, but it's actually not correct. That's not a kasha on Shmuel. Because yesh l'chalik between Sanon. Let me explain to you why Sanon is a hadama, but Korah can still be a shak. V'lohi. That sushtel, that comparison is not correct. Why? Because Sanon, not the inshadai to the pugla, because when you plant radish plants, you want the radish. You're planting in order to get the radish while it's nice and soft, while it's an edible pugla. But dikla, when you plant the palm tree, lo nati inshi adaita dekora, people don't plant it because they want for the purpose of harvesting the kora. No, they plant it because they want to have the dates. They plant it because they want to have the coconuts. This isn't the telos of the tree. This isn't the purpose of it. So therefore, that's what the Gemara says. Sanon is a hadama, but hark the palm could still be a shahakal. And just to skip ahead for a moment, the Gemara has a little more shock vataria, which we'll see in a moment. But just to get a sense of how now that you raise that velohi, take a look at the last line before the two dots. The Gemara says, "The alfagav de kalse Shmuel Rav Yehuda." Even though Shmuel praised Rav Yehuda, he said, shinna kavasach mistabra, we paskin like Shmuel. Lamaisa, hearts upon our shakal, as we saw the Rambam writes. Hearts upon the shakal. Why? Because that means we accept the Veloi. Again, I don't know whether the Veloi is Shmuel himself talking or some later Amora, but whoever it is, the Gemara says, we accept that Veloi. Halacha lamaisa, halacha lamaisa. Yeah. This raises, though, another issue, by the way. There's yet another kasha now. Kashas are Shmuel. One was like the Tzarachian, like not everything is self-lachos. Another was the Tzarach Bir. Why do I care about self-lachos? And now there's a third kasha. Not really any of these kashas yet, but at least we're laying out. There's a third kasha, and the third kasha is... Yeah? Give me a couple.
Even though we said it's not a good disproof, it could be interpreted that... There are two ways of interpretation of that, which means that there's more raya from one side
than the other. I'm not sure about that. You have something which may or may not indicate a particular shita, so unless it seems more likely, but take a step back. What's the most basic kasha in terms of track and shock vataria? You're already a step ahead. Well, maskani is the pasuk not Shmuel, but specifically, yeah.
Why Shmuel gave this reason a lot?
First he says sofa lachos, that was reason A. But now he's talking about reason B, which is lo nati adaita dahachi. Says it 1 second.
He didn't say that.
Okay, good. So one possibility is, right, the third problem is there seemed to be base to amen. First we said sofa lachos. And then we said... the question of what was the purpose. So you got to figure out, and there are a few different ways to think about this. And if you look in the Rishonim, which you've begun to do and continue to do tomorrow, you're going to see it's interesting to track. Are Rishonim quoting Lonati Inchadai Tavi? Are they quoting Sofal Hakshos? Which they don't say that they're not necessarily the same thing. Well, the Gemara said clearly Sofal Hakshos alone doesn't make a shakal. That's Sanon. So did we get rid of Sofal Hakshos? Did we replace it? So no, that was the wrong. As you said, Shmuel said sofalachos, but some later Amora said, "I hold like Shmuel, love me tameh, not because sofalachos, it's shahafel lo nothing shaday tami." Or is there some of us? The Rosh actually quotes both of them, which gets the Pnei Yeshua. I think Pnei Yeshua is very excited about this. So that's we sort of have to figure out just how you put the pieces of the Gemara together. And this is how we paskin. We paskin it's shahakel because of what? Because of what? You saw the Tosas already starts getting other Rishonim follow Tosas and saying there are other examples of this phenomenon of lo nati inshi adai to dahachi. It's interesting. Tosas doesn't seem to talk about the Sofal Hakshos. Tosi, take a look. Lo nati inshi adai to dahachi. The Sofer Gemara covers it to Shmuel. The Gemara holds like Shmuel, right? That's the Hilchasa. And therefore, Tosas says, okay, now you can take it to the bank. Now we have a concept. It's not just about hearts of palm. But the Tosas lived far away from palm trees. So they didn't have any access to hearts of palm. That might be why Rashi describes it as a branch. He's using his terminology to think about a palm tree. You know, the woody plants that grew in France and Germany had the branches. That's another way, but that's a lesaber saozen to German people, what a what a palm tree looks like. But now he starts talking about, Tosfos says, and we might not have any access to hearts of palm unless it's a very expensive import, but there are other things around that we do have. As a matter of fact, interestingly, some of these things exist in Germany, are part of German cuisine, Adi al-Mazeh. Tosfos is talking about lulve gefanim and shkedim. Tosfos starts talking, we'll get to this more blina tomorrow, if you have grapevines that you can pluck before it gets mature enough, you're actually growing grapes, you can pluck off bits of the vine to eat the leaves of the vines, stuffed grape leaves, sounds like, to eat the lulav gefanim, or almonds. So Tosfos talk about almonds, mature almonds, non-mature almonds, and then some of the Rishonim talk about, there are two types of almonds. And this is Tanon Ray talk about. There are regular almonds and there are bitter almonds. Bitter almonds apparently are illegal to sell in the United States of America, but they are for sale in Europe. Bitter almonds are not your tip, obviously, which means when you go to the store and you buy almonds, they're regular, normal, sweet almonds. Prunus dulcis, nice sweet almonds. If you let them ripen, like most fruits, they might be sour or bitter if you pull them off too soon, but if you let them ripen, they're delicious. Bitter almonds are fakert. If you let them ripen, they are dangerous. They're bitter. They're bitter because they're laced with hydrocyanic acid. Apparently, eating a large quantity of bitter almonds can be toxic. And you may have seen the Rishonim say, if they knew, if you cook them, cooking the bitter almonds leaches out, removes the toxic acid, and then it's okay to eat. So Tosfos begins to talk about, there. Let's say I have normal sweet almonds. So I could wait until they're ready to eat, and then they're delicious almonds in a hard shell. So the almonds are edible, the shells at that point are not. They're hardened. But I don't want the shell, I want the almond. Or I could pick them early. The almonds inside aren't yet ready to eat, but the shells are still soft and apparently tasty. I've never tasted unripe almond shells, but maybe our foodies in the room can find a lemon caper chicken equivalent for unripe almond shells. Find the delicate of the cuisine in which that's a thing. So Tosfos says, your unripe almond shells that are soft and tender and delicious because you haven't let them ripen. So what bracha do you make on almond shells? So that sounds like chocolate wax, same thing. Usually you plant almond trees for the almond, not for the shell. So you decided you want to have some almond shell because you have some lemon caper almond shell chicken recipe. So you need to go out back and pick yourself some soft, delicious almond shells. But that tree wasn't planted. You didn't build it, and you didn't plant it. And the guy who planted that tree planted it for the almonds, not for the shells. You decide to eat the shells. That is a shahakam. Okay. So we're already seeing the Gemara is given, point being, Tosfos is what you learn from Tosfos is not only another halacha, but a way of thinking. Tosfos is seeing the Gemara, I'm talking about hearts of palm trees, what's Cohen talking about? Drawing palm trees on the board? No, it's an example of a concept. It's an example of a category. A palm tree is an example of, there's a certain, if they have a certain feature, then even though it came from a tree, it's going to be a shahako. Which brings us back to kasha number three. What is that feature? Is it about Lonati Inchadait Tahachini? Is it about Sofalachos? Is it about both? So right now we've seen the Gemara, most of the Gemara. We're wondering about Yehuda's Hadamah supposed to eggs. We're wondering about Shmuel's, isn't everything Sofalachos? And why do I care about Sofalachos? And is it even about Sofalachos? Or is it about Lonati Inchadait Tahachini? So we're leaving off with a couple of kashas. We haven't yet together seen the second part of the Gemara about Slav. We will see that and see how the Rishonim unpacks the Gemara Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.
The Gemara's understanding.